Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios right in the middle of a Trash Talking Tuesday. Rob, tell them about it. Well, Rob will be along in a moment. He's in his kitchen eating cheese food and lettuce.
Wow. Is my
guess. With a slice of bologna and mayo, right? And mayo on top. All right. It is a Trash Talking Tuesday. You can call in at the third hour at 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern, and trash anyone or anything in the world of sports. We got Kerry Kittles joining us at the bottom of the hour. Really become a fun guest to have on here weekly to talk NBA with him, so stay tuned for that. But we're going to go to the NFL, where Aaron Rodgers just, at this point, it's just taking on a life of its own. This news about him wanting out of Green Bay.
Deshaun Watson likes it.
Right. You're right about that, Rob.
That pushed him to the back burner
for
right now.
We haven't heard about Deshaun Watson in weeks. You're absolutely right. Good point. Terry Bradshaw, the legend, 4 Super Bowls. For all those, Rob G, all those who weren't watching football back then.
Terry Bradshaw. They weren't alive. What do you mean watching football? Rob G, they weren't alive.
I mean, Rob G started watching in 2008, I think. But anyway, Terry Bradshaw, 4 Super Bowls. You see him all over Fox Sports now. Has really become a big-time, renowned broadcaster. Man, Rob, he went in on Aaron Rodgers. Here he is.
With him being that upset shows me just how weak he is. Who the hell cares who you draft? I mean, he's a 3-time MVP in the league, and he's worried about this guy they drafted last year at number one. And for him to be upset, my God, I don't understand that. Pittsburgh drafted Mark Malone, number one, Cliff Stout in the 3rd or 4th round. I had him coming at me from all angles. I embraced it because when we went to practice, I wasn't worried about those guys. You know, it didn't scare me a bit. So I don't understand why he's so upset at Green Bay.
Look, Rob, I said it yesterday. I do think Aaron Rodgers is whining. If the reports are true that, number one, this all stemmed from the drafting of Jordan Love, and now a report came out today, or yesterday, I'm sorry, that when the Packers let go, what's the receiver's name? I got to be honest. I had to Google him. I never heard of the dude. But when they let go of one of their wide receivers who apparently was friends. Yeah, Jake Kumerow.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, Jake Kumerow. All right. Last year in Green Bay, he caught one pass. But anyway, letting him go up was the final straw. Rob, I don't know if these things are accurate, but there's reports flying,
Chris,
all over the place.
You already know. There are people just throwing stuff out every day. Come on. Can that really be that was the final straw? It doesn't even sound right. You might not have liked it, but is right, that you, the that, final straw? Come on.
I can see them being friends, right? Obviously, he wasn't critical to their success.
About it, right?
But they might have been cool. They might have been friends.
But
and
that's the final straw? Come on. Right. That doesn't even make sense to me. Like, that would be – remember, they got rid of his quarterback coach without even asking him. Do you remember that?
Which was probably a factor that, too, right?
But I'm saying that would be more of a final straw to me, that my quarterback coach who I'm having success with and I'm working with, you don't even ask me if we should let him go? Do you know what I mean? But a seldom used wide receiver, even if you're friendly? Come on. I just think Terry went over the top, as you know. That's what I think happened.
I look, I'm fine with him criticizing him. This story is bizarre. I honestly, I would love Aaron Rodgers to just come out and address it. The Packers have addressed it. So it is true that Aaron Rodgers wants out, has wanted out for a while now. They've told us weeks. Is it weeks? Is it months? And they've all, the management and the coach, Matt LaFleur, have gone to see him individually to talk him out of it. And right now he's dug in. I don't get this notion that, I get it that he was upset about the drafting of Jordan Love, but he came out and had arguably the best season of his career, won MVP. And it's got to be more than that. Rob, you said yesterday you think it's money, and maybe that's the case. But to me, what I do agree with Bradshaw saying, I said it, I think Rodgers is being whiny. And you got a chance, you got a team that could win a Super Bowl. You got one of the best offensive lines in the league. You got one of the best receivers in the league. You got one of the best running backs in the league. If it's just about Jordan Love, I mean, you played last year with that news hovering over you and being upset about it and this guy in your quarterback room. So I do say, get over it, Aaron. Go for the Super Bowl with Green Bay. So I get Bradshaw's sentiment and why he's coming from that angle.
I just think Bradshaw's done this before. He called Mike Tomlin a cheerleader and that he couldn't coach and he didn't even know what he was doing or whatever. I mean, do you remember those comments? Absolutely. So I've heard Bradshaw's act, and we've heard stuff like that before where he just goes off the handle. I guess he needed to find something to criticize a guy who played probably his greatest season ever. He said his footwork is awful, but he threw 48 touchdowns. He has the greatest quarterback passer rating in the history of the NFL, but he's terrible, Chris, his footwork. He never leans into a throw. That's incredible because what he's been able to do with such poor mechanics. That's the first guy I've ever heard who said, you know, that they're not, you know, he could have said, I'm nitpicking here because he's so good. But you know what I mean, Chris, to kind of give me like the idea that he's nitpicking, but that's what it wasn't. So I don't know. I think there's more to the story. Charlie Casterly's a smart man, was in the NFL, and he's right. Most of the time when players are upset like that, it's about money, Chris. I believe Charlie Casterly. I think that that's the root of it. It can't be Jordan Love a year later. He was drafted last year. That doesn't even make sense. That now I'm going to take my frustrations out? No, it doesn't make sense. This guy just played great, and he wants them to cash out. I just won the MVP, right? I just played my butt off.
Another thing Bradshaw said, and he addressed that. In your comments when he talked about his footwork, which was a little bizarre. I don't know. Next time we get a quarterback guru on the show, we'll ask him. But he seems to be doing fine with his footwork. But he also said on the Herd, Rob, today, Bradshaw, that, you know, you signed the contract. So play it out. And
Contracts will be made to be broken. It happens all the time.
That's been your sentiment, though, at times.
But teams have ripped up contracts and given people more money because they've outplayed their. I'm just saying it has been done. It's not like it's never been done. That's my point. And if you want to make a guy happy, you could do that. Ezekiel Elliott had a contract, Chris, right? He had a contract. The Cowboys could have played hardball. They decided they needed him. He was a big part of their team. What did they do? They made him gave him the richest running back contract ever. It hasn't worked out, right. But did they do it?
They did it, though, right? Oh, they did it. That don't mean it's right. Yeah, look, people break contracts all the time.
That's all
but
I'm saying.
But Casterly also said Rodgers has been paid $48 million for the first 2 years of his contract per year.
I get the number. So, I'm just saying.
I think it has to do with money.
I don't believe it has to do with any. I don't believe the Jordan Love. I just don't. I don't think that
makes
sense.
There's also the Brian Gutekunst, the GM, that he wants him out. They got to figure this thing out. And I think, you know, maybe a lot of this is just bluffing, Rob. You know, maybe it's trying to get them to trade him. There's a report today that Denver is going to go. That's going to be the team that goes the hardest after Aaron Rodgers. And you got a lot of people out there saying they wouldn't trade him. I would do everything I could to keep him. They're built to win now. And so, obviously, if you trade him, I don't care who you get. Because Jordan Love, you think, is your quarterback of the future. So I don't know that you're even getting, you know, a quarterback if you trade him. And so I think they got to try to win now, try to maximize their time with Aaron Rodgers. And I think he, too, you know, at 38 years old, you know, there's talk, Rob, could he retire? You know, who knows? Whatever, who knows what's in his head? Maybe he can host Jeopardy. He's 38. Maybe he's ready to move on. He's getting married. You know, maybe looking at another chapter in his life. Or he can do without it if he feels like it's a hassle to play for Green Bay. I do think when you're playing at the level he is, and we've seen it, Barry Sanders, Megatron, Jim Brown, a lot of guys have walked away still in their prime. So he wouldn't be the first. But I would think, man, maximize this time. Because if he plays three or four more years, Rob, at a high level, even then when he retires, heck, when Tom Brady retires, he'll still be a young man overall. You know what I mean? Like in life. So go ahead. You're still throwing the ball great, Aaron Rodgers. Go ahead and play this thing out and go for the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, I just, until we hear from Aaron, I'm just going to, there's so many stories. People are looking to make headlines every day, digging, talking to people, you know. So I get it. That's what newspaper reporters do, and reporters do, Chris. They dig, look for information. But I guess I just want to hear. I'm not denying that there's a conflict.
Yeah, I mean, Green Bay is actually
right.
Yeah,
so that's not the issue. It's what it's over is what I want to find out. And
you think he's going to come out and be blunt about it?
No, I just think that we have a better shot at understanding it because he might not say what it is, but he could dismiss some of the stuff that's flying around. You know, I've heard people do that.
Right.
Like, that's not true. Like, I don't have any issue with the general
manager.
He'll
certainly be at right. A basketball,
you know what I mean? Like right. Stuff like that. Like, he could say that. He might not say, I want to be paid. I want more money, and they won't pay me. Now, people don't do that, Chris. You don't get in front of a mic and ask for more money. But you might say, these stories have been so ridiculous out here about the general manager and me and Jordan Love. He's a great kid. He's going to be a quarterback. Jordan Love is me. I was sitting there waiting for Brett Favre, you know what I mean, and my chance to play, so I understand it. So he could address some of those things and then leave it to at least eliminate some of the chatter, Chris, and then you'd have to figure out, you would say, okay, so it's not about that, then it must be about money.
All right, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. It's your turn to weigh in with the Odd Couple. Here's the question. Was Terry Bradshaw wrong when he called Aaron Rodgers weak, direct quote, weak, for being upset about the situation in Green Bay? Your turn to weigh in with the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, it is the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, and we're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, as always. And also, as always, we're brought to you by AutoZone. Now, if you're dealing with a dead battery, there's only one place to go. It's called AutoZone, and you can find them anywhere. They're all over the place because they're America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. That's great. So next time you're having battery trouble, folks, head on over to AutoZone. It's your battery solution and America's number one battery destination. 877-99 on Fox. The legendary Terry Bradshaw went off on the legendary Aaron Rodgers. What say you?
All right, let's kick it off with David in New York. You're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
What's up?
Good, good. Terry Bradshaw is right. Aaron Rodgers is weak. As Rob likes to say about Steph Curry in the playoffs, Aaron Rodgers is just not that guy. Look at his playoff record. Look at his last his championship game record. He folded in the fourth quarter. Everyone knows it. He didn't take blame. I was listening to an interview with Shaq on All the Smoke. He just admitted it was his fault that Orlando lost. Michael Jordan has admitted when it was his fault. Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers, he's got too much drama. He's not focused on winning. It's all about him. Like, how this sports, it's all about competition since you're growing up. What break do you have that they pick someone to take your position? He doesn't put the team first. If you just compare the mentality, the intangibles, the attitude of Brady versus Aaron Rodgers, there's a hell of a difference.
Yeah, and Brady had help because they cheat. Because the Patriots have cheated.
They didn't cheat.
Stop it. Stop it. Tom Brady won a Super Bowl with no touchdowns. You got your say. Good. Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Aaron Rodgers is the first quarterback, the only quarterback.
You're
going to
sit there and tell me about this and that, and he has this and he has that. Why don't you bring up that stuff? You never bring that up, that maybe that helped him. No, that didn't help him at all. That's why he got suspended for 4 games, because it didn't matter. Let's go to Kevin in Virginia. You're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, guys.
I thought it was a good call.
Thanks for the show.
I thought he was terrible. He should call, Mike and the Mad Dog.
Oh,
that show is off the air. Call that show in New York. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right, go ahead.
Kevin.
No, you guys you're missing one big thing here. Roger, why did the Beatles break up? Because their priorities changed. They met their wives and they wanted to start a family. He wants to be near his wife, who has a career in Hollywood. He sees his future beyond football in Hollywood. I think that's the root of it. I think everything else is a smokescreen. He wants to get to the West Coast so he can plan his future with his new wife,
I think you could just, if you really wanted to do that, you go and sit down. You don't put on this whole thing and a storyline. People have done that. They got a change in life. I don't think that's the end of the world to just say, I want to move on. And here's the reason why. They didn't do anything. There's a way to be able to do it. Hey, you got your guy, Jordan Love, sitting here. He's your future. I just want to move on. It was great in Green Bay. You could do that without these other stories. I'm not buying that it's strictly that. Not at his age, where he easily...
Yeah, because if they wanted, they could get married a year from now.
Yes,
right?
Chris.
It's just pro sports. I mean, this is Rob, par for the course. She's Hollywood. She's an actress. She's going to be gone, too. A lot,
yeah,
right? So it's not like they're about to settle down in Mayberry.
They play, you know how many games they play, Chris, in Green Bay? They play 8 games in Green Bay. Come on.
He can be
really
out the whole offseason. That's a little hard to buy. He's been this long without being married.
Right.
If that was it, he could go another year.
I just think that that doesn't make any sense. Let's do Andre in Massachusetts. You're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Good evening. Terry Bradshaw says Aaron Rodgers, he's weak, and he should just let him cry. Terry Bradshaw, he wants to live in the 20th century. He wants to talk about how he had to walk 5 miles through the rain and the snow with barefoot, with no all this and that to school. Okay, we're in the 21st century, Terry Bradshaw. Okay, and it's about player empowerment, and it's about these stars who people show up, who people tune in to see, having a seat at the table. That's the game that Aaron Rodgers is playing right now, and he has every single right to do it, just like LeBron does in basketball, just like Tom Brady does and everybody else.
But hold on. Let me stop you here, Andre. LeBron left to win. Aaron Rodgers got as good a chance as he does of winning anywhere right there in Green Bay.
indeed, Chris, you're right, point taken. Their offensive line is great, running backs, all the rest of that stuff. But they disrespected him on fourth down. And they're better dealing him. They got Jordan Love waiting in the wings. He wants to win his way to go to a team. Now, Rob G hopes it'll be the Raiders. Obviously, San Francisco will be the best possible situation. Maybe Miami. Aaron Rodgers wants to win his way, and he has every single right to do it in this day and age. Thanks for taking the call.
Look, Andre heated up. You got people riled up, Rob, the way you went at the first call. What was his name?
It is what it is. I don't even know. It's all in fun.
He was
Thanks
good,
for calling. We appreciate you. Thank you.
I do. I thought he hit it on the head. Aaron Rodgers, only quarterback to ever lose four straight conference championship games. I mean, he got some blame, too. They got to get it done. I mean, he's great, but, you know, he's a part of it, too. But interesting stuff. Two legends going at it, or at least one going at another one. So Terry Bradshaw speaks his piece. Kerry Kittles will do so next, right here on The Odd Couple. But first.
And I do believe, for the argument about the, I think Aaron Rodgers lives in Malibu or has a house on the West Coast already.
So already?
If he's already, I don't think he has a beachfront property in Green Bay. It's in Malibu. What's the big deal?
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
And we got our man, former NBA veteran, Fox Sports Radio NBA analyst, Kerry Kittles, joining the show. Kerry, what's up, man?
What's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Doing good.
We are good, man. Great to have you on, as always. Let's get right to it. We'll go outside of Brooklyn for now.
Okay.
Russell Westbrook, what he's doing is amazing. First I'll ask you about Scottie Brooks' comments about him being the second best point guard of all time. And then I assume you might answer that one quickly. But just tell me about what you think Russell Westbrook, about what he's doing. I mean, fourth year of averaging a triple-double.
Yeah, he is reinventing himself time and time again. I think, and he's doing it with different teams, right? I mean, how many guys have done that? Moving around from different organizations, trying to figure out, okay, how can I get the most out of myself and my teammates, try to win games, and then produce at that level. It's really remarkable. I think he's just an exceptional overall talent when he's out in the court. He offensively, he's just such a threat because downhill, I mean, who's better than him downhill throughout the NBA history? His explosiveness, and now he's making jump shots, right? He's pulling up, making shots. Oh, man, wow, what a talented player he is.
But not the second best point guard.
The second best point guard.
No, that's that. Come on.
I know that's his coach. He played for him in two places. He's won a lot of games.
Yes.
But when people start rewriting history books and just on a prisoner of the moment kind of thing, you lose some credibility, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. I think to make those comments like he's the second best point guard. No, I mean, you're looking at numbers, right? I mean, numbers can only tell one part of the story. Yes, he's a triple-double every year. I mean, basically. And what he's done is, you know, who's done it besides the Big O, right? I mean, now you have...
And just once.
Yes. So he's exceptional. But, I mean, in that kind of point guards, that's elite right there.
Kerry, I think he's similar to Allen Iverson, a little bit of different styles of play, but Iverson was, both of them, they're just incredible individual phenoms.
Yes.
They did things that hardly anybody that's ever played can do, but I don't think either one of them could lead a team to the championship because they were the way they played was so different, you know, and it could be difficult to play with. Do you think that's fair?
Yes, that's definitely fair. Great comparison. He's a bigger version of Allen Iverson. You know, very similar in their tenacity. You know, every possession, they play it like their last. Every game, they give you their all. And as far as winning championships, those styles of players and how they play the game and how they approach the game mentally, it doesn't really, you know, do well with winning basketball. You know, it's just great individual play, great exceptional talent. You know, they put so much pressure on you, but winning championships takes a lot more than just that.
When you talk about winning a championship, obviously the Lakers were hoping to get a back-to-back. A lot of things have gone wrong there. They won last night. Anthony Davis said that they're back. Are the Lakers back, or is that a little premature?
Yeah, it's premature. I mean, I want to see them do it more than just one game. They beat a good team, Denver, but I want to see them continue to do that. I think, you know, down, I mean, right now, do you really want to play the Clippers if you're the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs?
Yeah. That, especially if LeBron is just getting back.
Yeah, LeBron just getting back. Now you got to go through Paul George and Kawhi. I don't want to do that if I'm the Lakers. I'm not saying they couldn't get past the Clippers, but I'm just thinking they got to play some good basketball down the stretch for me to be able to say, you know, they're going to come out the West. That's a strong statement right now.
The West, I mean, we know it's been the superior conference for a long time now, and probably certainly is as far as depth. Maybe not as top heavy as the East, but I got to say this, Kerry, and I got concerns about the Lakers like everybody else, but I'm also looking at the teams that are really good, but I'm not scared. Utah, I'm not scared of, especially with Donovan Mitchell still out. You know, he'll come back, but he'll be coming off the ankle injury. Phoenix, I'm not afraid of. Denver, they're now with Jamal Murray. I know they've played great. But their second best player, Michael Porter Jr., who's a young stud, but he's 22. I don't know that he's going to come right into a playoff series and play well against some of these superstars. And you mentioned maybe it's the Clippers, but I don't see a world beater out there that really I'm like, oh, there's no way the Lakers could beat them. What do you think about that?
You know, the West is kind of open when you look at it. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. I mean, you're right. Like, no one's fearing Denver. No one's fearing Utah, right?
So if you're is anybody fearing the Lakers and what they've turned in? And you know what I mean? Like,
I just think being a former NBA player, playing against LeBron in the playoffs, you're worried about that. I don't care who you are.
even though he hasn't won that all, I mean, he's only won four times in 17 tries.
Okay. He's carried his team to the finals time and time again. You are worried about LeBron James and Anthony Davis. No question about it. There's no question about it. Because he figures out how to win. He's a problem solver, right? You put the guys around him. He says, okay, it's my guys this year. All right, let's see what we could do. Boom, NBA Finals, right? I mean, yes, he's got talent around him, but he just figures it out.
Yeah, it just seems to me, Kerry, that the too many things need to go right. That's why I'm out on the Lakers. You know, with the team that they have, I don't feel good about it. This isn't the team that won the championship. You know, and AD is – AD and where LeBron is, there's something that feels amiss. And I get what you're saying about the history, and it's always easier to pick somebody, but there's going to come a time where LeBron is going to get beat. And I think this could be that time where they're more vulnerable and they just haven't played together. They just aren't healthy enough and they could lose. And
I agree.
That's all. I just think that if you're going to, if I'm going to pick a time for LeBron to lose and not get there would be this year.
Yes, you're right. I mean, you know, basketball, too, is timing, right? You got to have guys healthy. We've seen guys in and out protocols, injuries throughout the entire league. And so this year, I mean, the Lakers have been – they've had a lot of adversity. So you're right. This is the year if you're going to knock LeBron off. I mean,
right.
Yes.
Kerry, how much – and you obviously played in the league, and not just from your own experience, but other players, the teammates or what have you – how much of this do you think LeBron, you know, coming back from this injury has taken a long time? Like, as you get older, and he's 36 in his 18th year, does it take your body longer to recover from injuries? Like, I'm thinking 6-7 years ago, he would have been through this injury. I know there are certain injuries they are what they are. You can't come back quickly from. But is age a factor in that?
Age is a factor. Medicine is changing year in and year out. Everything is changing. And I think they're just trying to err on the side of caution. Can you buy him another week? Can you buy him a few more days of rest? You know, this game is so fast. There's so much stress. We talk about this every time I'm on your show. I think the more rest he has, he's already going to be mentally sharp. He will figure that part out, you know, one game and then he's there, right? So, But, yeah, I'm worried about his age. I'm worried about the recovery. I'm worried. You know, you having these kind of injuries late in the season, regular season, it's concerning. You know, same in the East with James Harden. It is concerning.
Right.
No doubt. It's going to be interesting. And we mentioned briefly, Kerry, about the Suns, and nobody buys into them. But shouldn't it be, I get it, they hadn't made the playoffs since Moby Dick was a guppy. It's been a long time. But Chris Paul, does that not make them more dangerous, or why people should believe? And I know he hadn't gotten to the conference finals, or he hadn't been able to get to the finals, I should say. He hadn't been able to get to the finals. But doesn't he add some playoff, you know-how and experience that could elevate those other young guys who haven't been there?
Yeah, no question about that. I think Chris Paul, you know, he's been playing really well as of late. And he's got surrounding talent around him. I think, you know, Booker, this is probably his year to really show out in the playoffs. They did it in the bubble, went undefeated. You know, they have some really good talent and Bridges and Ayton. So I think if you're in the West, you're concerned about Phoenix for sure. I think Utah, the way they move the ball and how they play together as a unit is the biggest asset. But I definitely think Phoenix is going to cause some trouble in the playoffs. I really do. They are a Western Conference playoff team, in my opinion.
Kerry, I know you don't like to give this team props, but the New York Knicks are actually balling. All right, they're the fourth seed in the East, and people talk about, you know, they've won 12 of 13, I believe. But if you go back 39 games, their record over that stretch they won about 66% of those games. That would be the second best record. If you stretch that over 82 games, that'd be the second best record in the Eastern Conference right now. So they're playing really good basketball. I want to ask you this. How much of a threat are they to upset one of the three top teams in the East, Philadelphia, Brooklyn, or Milwaukee?
No, they're a legit threat. They are a legit threat. I think because of how they guard, right? And obviously the emergence of Randle this year has been a surprise to all of us. We didn't see this coming. Right?
I mean, he was a good player elsewhere,
yes,
but not
player.
Like this. Yeah.
Very good player.
You know what? Some players take time to develop and have that breakthrough. You know what I mean?
You
want
to give Tibbs credit. You got to give Tibbs credit. This is coaching, getting the most out of his player, and he committed in the offseason. Like, they didn't make it in the bubble. He committed in the offseason, got himself in great shape. Yes. But, I mean, Tibbs and his staff, I mean, wow. So, but as a unit, they play so hard together. Look at Rose and what he's doing. So, I'm telling you, in the East, I agree with you, the Knicks are a threat. They are a threat because they're going to grind it out. They're going to play as mush-mouth basketball as they can in today's style of play. They're going to try to, you know, junk it up.
Right.
And they've been able to play well offensively and get it done. So, they are definitely a threat.
And Randle's only 26 years old. I mean, think about it. Like, he's been in the league a while.
He feels like he's 36.
Right.
He's been around forever. That's what I'm shocked he's that young.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where his career goes. But I agree, Tibbs. This is kind of what Tibbs did with Derrick Rose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Randle's in that role now. All right, Kerry, great stuff as always,
thank you,
brother. We appreciate the knowledge.
Thank you.
All right, my man. Okay, more of the iCouple coming your way. Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It is the iCouple. Chris Broussard, Rob Parker coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. We're going to switch to Major League Baseball for a moment. Rob, we were talking yesterday about Alex Rodriguez's comment that if he was Francisco Lindor's hitting coach, he would fire Francisco Lindor's hitting coach if Lindor hit over 25 home runs. Little did we know, and it had nothing to do with Lindor hitting home runs.
But Chili Davis is out of a job.
He's gone, and his assistant. And take him with you. That's the last thing Steve Cohen said, or whoever fired him. And
man,
take him with you.
That's so messed up.
Is this? I mean, look, they can't hit, Rob. They got awesome pitching.
No, they're struggling. There's no doubt. And we know how this game works, Chris. If you're not a part of the solution, you're a part of the problem. And when pitching staffs do well, pitching coaches get raises, they get all kinds of stuff and accolades. I get it. And when you're the hitting coach and guys aren't hitting, but I'm telling you, this firing is over Lindor. I'm not saying that the Mets struggling.
The whole team, yeah, they're dead
the whole
last.
Team,
they're running.
I'm
you
not, Chris, I get that. But Lindor, who they paid $341 million, all guaranteed, who's in an 0-for-23 drought, who looked terrible when I watched him on Sunday.
He's hitting 163.
Dude, I watched him on Sunday Night Baseball take awful swings. That's what A-Rod was talking about, because they were all like looping swings like you're trying to hit the ball out the park instead of hitting the ball on the ground, going the other way. I talked about it yesterday. If he's going the other way where the pitch is, swinging and hitting balls to left field, center field, Chris, you'd feel better about his approach at the plate. That's what A-Rod was talking about, his approach.
So let me ask you this, and look, you may not know the answer, but you can certainly theorize about it. We've seen, you and I, we've both been in New York covering, for two decades, essentially, covering sports in New York. And you've seen guys come here and not live up to the billing. And whether it's the cliche of, the Big Apple and the pressure and all of that, but it's happened, Rob. And I know it's early, but you're talking about a four-time All-Star. You're talking about a guy that's, typically 30-plus home runs. You're talking about a guy that's a top 10 MVP candidate, most years. What do you think is going on? I mean, it could just be a slump. Everybody goes through slumps in baseball. But are you really concerned that this dude might not be cut out for the bright lights of New York City?
Yeah, I know. If he was playing for the Yankees, maybe, Chris, maybe. But the Mets, I get the New York thing, but the Mets don't have the same expectation. I've seen guys putting on the pinstripes. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I just think Lindor, I don't know if he psyched himself out mentally. You wait for that big payday to come, right? And now you feel like I gotta play now.
Live
I gotta perform, right? Live up to it, Chris. They gave me $341 million. I'm gonna get every dime over the next 12 years, and now I gotta be that guy. I was cool in Cleveland, playing for good money, Chris, not great money, right?
Right.
He was just playing.
Right.
He was a fun-loving kid.
And it must feel like anonymity compared to this.
Yes.
Yeah, it's certainly too early to write him off. It's 23 games. Okay.
You just brought up the point. Didn't you just bring up the Yankees, how they were dead 2 weeks ago?
Exactly. People are talking about they're horrible, right? And so you got to let this thing play out. But it's concerning, and he's not getting it done. And Rob, look, Chili Davis, I remember him as a player, but if they're not producing, and one thing this new ownership has shown, he's trying, Rob. We'll see what happens. He's trying to get a good product out there and get a World Series for the New York Mets. And so I think he was like, look, before this season, and they're still near 500. So the season is far from lost. But I think he's like, before this thing goes too far and we're too far gone, let me see if I can right the ship.
No, you have to. I get that. And I think that, you got to give somebody's blood. Like we see it all the time, Chris. The defensive coordinator at Green Bay, right? He got fired.
Right.
Right? Because they gave up that bad
and
play
Dallas,
in the playoff game.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
This is somebody, we're not going to just accept it. This shouldn't have happened. And so somebody's got to be blamed. And if you're not going to get rid of the head coach or the manager, then somebody on his staff is going to pay the price to let fans know we know it ain't working, and we're holding people accountable. And players know they're being held accountable. Do you know what I mean? Like you're not going to just be sashaying around here making big money and not producing. And if you don't, we'll move on from you too. Not that they're going anywhere from Lindor, but you know what I mean. It's just a perception.
the reports too are that Chile, you know, maybe being a former player, that he wasn't, and I don't know, right? Well, you and I, you know, our stance on analytics is well known. But
that what, he's there's not talk a big that, analytics?
Yeah, that he's, yeah, he's not the analytic guy. He's not giving the individual instruction. He's not, you know, putting the technology in front of these guys and that, you know, that other guys are giving them. And so, you know, that's part of what is being talked about. So we'll see. I mean, I think if they do have a turnaround, I mean, you got guys, you know, Pete Alonso, Lindor, like they should be able to put some runs up on the board. And if they do, Rob, they could be dangerous because their pitching is great.
Their pitching is outstanding, but
yeah. So
even though DeGrom now is hurt, right?
Yeah, yeah, and that's obviously that's terrible. All right, an hour left. Odd Couple.